You know, like those of you who have kids in school, you know, it's a tennis shoe, it's a cleat, it's a, you know, there's always some kind of different ballet shoe. It's a, yeah, certain kind of shoes that you have to have for different purposes. And here he's telling us that we need to be prepared in readiness. So I think there's an importance to the order and the meaning. So let's just review those for a second. In verses 12 and 13, he says, stand. When he says stand, everybody thinks that's really passive, like you're not doing anything. Is it hard to stand still? Really? Because it is for me. Yeah, because I just want to, right? But it's not easy. And this is where we get in with, because the battle's up here in your mind. I don't know why I do it. I'm not proud that I do it. And I'm not talking about drinking out of the same paper coffee cup for 3 days. What I'm talking about is, I still think that makes me a good citizen. What I really am talking about, though, is the thing where I continually argue with God. And I don't think I am, but it's like he says, do this. And I'm like, well, you know, because, and then I think I sound just like a 6 or 7 year old. Well, I don't want to do that because. And then, you know, sometimes I see myself like a teenager, like, okay, I'll do it, you know, but I do it out of obedience. But at any level, whether my kids were little, whether they were teenagers or whether they're adults, right? Whether they listened to my advice or not, whether they rolled their eyes, whether they were giving me nonverbal communication, yeah, or whatever it was, I never changed my mind that I loved my kids. And I think that's so important because the battle's right here. And the enemy comes in, as we're going to study, he uses things to get you to think you're dad, get you to think you're creator, to get you to think that your beloved would ever not want you. So we have to stand. And we have to realize that the conflict with Satan is spiritual. He's always going to drive you to do something. It's not a physical battle. It's spiritual. There is no physical weapon that's going to win this battle. It's not going to be more money. It's not going to be more friends. It's not going to be more people who think you're right, your validation. No, that's not what's going to cause us to stand. And to stand, if I just stand, I'm going to win regardless of demonic strategies. Because let me just tell you, I've been through a little battle recently where, you know, people come against you and they say things that absolutely are not true. And you have to tune in and say, Father, is this a time for me to say something or not? And you got to know what he's saying because your emotions are going to lead you to react and he wants us to act on his word. Then there's the belt in verse 14. And we learn that the belt, really, the belt is the thing that balances out everything. If the belt's not there, then the under armor, if you will drop. And you're going to be holding onto what you got with one hand and you can't fight effectively. So the belt is called truth. And truth is the first weapon. And Satan's only weapon is lies. We know that, John 8:44. So I have to have truth. That's the first level. And here's the thing. In culture today, truth changes. You seen this? Like, you know, what used to be really bad is not bad anymore. Truth changes. And I thought about this. I don't know how many of you have ever seen, you know, like Pirates of the Caribbean. But they're walking, and so they decide that they're going to rock this boat and turn it over. And so they purposefully go really fast to one side, and then they get it to move it a little, and then they go purposefully fast to the other side, and then they run back across, and they get this ship to rock until they actually get it to flip. And I thought that is a great mental picture of what happens in society when we tell people this is the truth and then we run to something else. Oh, this is the truth, and then we all run over here. And pretty soon the boat is rocked and it's sunk. And so the beauty is he has called us to stand and man our station. Just rise up, man your station, stay there, and God's going to take care of it. I sometimes, when I'm fighting something and I know that there's not truth, I don't worry about if I, well, let me clarify that. I'm not worried about what everybody else is doing unless the Lord brings them to me to say, they're sinking. This is, you know, and my alarm bells are going off. And then to help them, and that's a move of the Holy Spirit. But as long as I know that God and I are good, I can stand. And that's when his weapon of lies comes in to get you not to be in agreement with him. But here's the thing. Our own relationship with God and deliverance are what is found in this belt of truth that holds everything together. And that, to me, is like stabilizers. We were on this big ship one time, and they have to have stabilizers so that the ship doesn't rock with the waves. Well, the stabilizers went out, and I mean, like, the pool is splashing over, and people are falling over. And so I don't get seasick, I guess, or something. I don't know. But the people who worked on the ship were so sick. And I remember going and helping people out on the deck. And we, like, Gary and Vicky and Steve and I had made, like, this little human chain. And we were helping people. And they were getting sick. And we were helping them back through it. And then when they're like, you don't work on this ship, what is the difference? And I said, well, I'm not scared. Because I wasn't. And your being concerned for you makes me forget my danger. And so we just all work together. Do you hear the spiritual connotation in that? So there are times when I think something's happening and I have to stay focused on my relationship with him. And I'll just tell you, even this morning, this was, I don't remember who I was in when we were praying. We, believe it or not, we actually prayed several times today at the church. I just thought I would share that. So I don't remember who was in the room when we were praying, but the thing I started praying was, God, I'm your girl. Dad, I want you to, you protect your girl. I want you to, you know, and I just begin to talk to him like that. And it's very rare that I see myself that way, but it was almost like a tattletale. Dad, do you hear that? And I just closed my eyes. Just like, I just want to wait till it's all over. And then just open my eyes and know he's taking care of it. Because we're wasting a lot of energy on false emotions and things. So we have to have the truth. And then the breastplate. The breastplate is really something that protects your vital organs. And the heart is the seat of all emotions. And it's not man works, but God works. Because righteousness of Christ guards our hearts from accusations on attacks from Satan to our innermost part. So these weapons aren't something that is just on the outside, like the suit of armor that you immediately start thinking. It's something on the inside. It is a spiritual covering that protects your heart. And when your heart is protected, it's going to affect you physically. Because the Bible is clear. Science has spent probably billions by now of dollars to prove this. But the Bible's clear. Whatever affects the soul and the spirit affects your physical body because they work together. They're under the Lord's own guardianship. So here's the thing. David knew this. It wasn't the outward armor of Saul. And that was the king's armor. Like here we are trying to put on the very best, to put on the dog to, you know, show that we have value. We have all these things that are great. But David recognized it wasn't the outward, it was the inward. And I want to encourage you tonight because some of you are so worried about outward things, your experiences that have scared you, your experiences that have hurt you, your experiences that have disappointed you, have built in you a strength that are going to withstand what something that you put on the outside could never do. God has put an armor in you, and I want it to come out tonight. So we're going to continue with this. So tonight, I want you to remember that your worst battle is between what you know and what you feel. What you know and what you feel. My mom used to say this, what you want and what you need are two different things. Right? Did you ever hear that one? Yeah. And that would make me so mad because I would say, but that's her definition of what I want or what I need. But it was because I was immature. So, hey, you know, if the girls were wearing plaid skirts with the little thing that had the big safety pin in it, well, she didn't, that was a need. That was a need. And to her, she's like, that's a want. But do you know the difference? Immaturity. Everybody's quiet now, but let me just tell you. There's things in the spirit that we want. But what I need is whatever life brings me, because I can trust him that if he's bringing something to me, it's because he wants to do something through me. And it's not just going to be about me, but it's going to be about somebody else. And I'm telling you this, hear this with spiritual ears tonight. Maybe it's not revelation to you, but I pray that you will, when you're going through something, this is going to come back to you. Guys, when we get to heaven, there's going to be people that are going to walk up to you that you don't know, but they knew you. And they're going to have watched you go through something, and it's going to have been an encouragement to them. It may be a kid that you, your own child, that something happened in your life and you thought you got everything wrong, but the one thing you got right, they were watching. It may be a coworker that you don't even know their name. It may be somebody who was in the grocery store that you did something kind to, but I'm telling you, there's going to be people in heaven that are going to testify about the things that mattered that you and I were just, oh, I don't feel like it. I know I should do it, but it's really not. It's important. It's important because it would be important to you. After Leah died, Steve went on a call, and someone, you know, had passed. And so he goes, and this young girl sees his name on his shirt, Van Zandt. And she said, are you Leah's dad? And he's like, yes. And she told him the story about how when Leah would be in school, and she had a lot of friends, but that she would come and sit with her during lunch and other kids wouldn't sit with her, and how she was suicidal and how much that meant to her that somebody cared enough to go sit with her at lunch at high school. And I would have never known that story, but God knew Steve needed that story. And that I needed that story. And I'm telling you, there are stories that are going to be told, because the word says in Hebrews, there is a great cloud of witnesses. And they're not just going to be saying to you, come on, Penny, you can do this. But they're going to be standing before the Father going, oh God, yes, when David stood, that gave me courage to stand. It's so important how we stand. And that brings us now to the readiness of the feet. Readiness means that you're in a constant vigilance. And vigilance is the action or state of keeping careful watch for possible danger or difficulties. Okay? That means you're, you know, to the world, you know, when they're in the army or whatever, they have the radar to detect these things. Well, I call it the PRADAR, PRAY-DAR. We need to be operating in the PRADAR. Because sometimes when you're praying, you got these little antennas that go up and you're like, I'm not sure. I'm just not sure. And that is when you know that your feet have to have the readiness of peace. I'm going to be vigilant. I'm going to be looking. I'm not asking you to judge somebody. I'm not asking you to be critical or cynical, because those are not in God's tool belt. I'm asking you to wait until you have the peace of God to determine something. Well, you know, doesn't that sound easy? It's not easy, is it? Oh, and I called a girlfriend yesterday, and I was like, look, I just need peace on something. I don't have peace. And so didn't get peace from her. Ding, ding, ding. So I'm like, okay. So I get, you know, to the church. And I'm like, okay, Angela, lay your hands on my mind and just pray over my mind. And she's like, okay. I'm like, I don't care how it looks, right? Because I want peace. And I didn't have peace. And I don't know when it came, And I don't know how it came. Wasn't like I was reading the Bible and this revelation hit me. And it wasn't like I was praying and I went out in the spirit or not. It was just like all of a sudden I had peace. And I feel like that's because I'm walking in the good news that God is for me. And maybe it was the prayer. Maybe it was the encouraging word. Maybe it was the the dynamics of both of them working together. But all I know is when I stopped my emotions and got busy working, just natural work, the supernatural took over that mind-grating experience of feelings and emotions. Should I do this? Should I not? You know, is this going to be like a good thing or is this a bad thing? You know, I hear what they're saying, but I'm questioning their motives. God, is it good? Is it bad? Is it good? Is it? Just stand. Man your station. Man your station. Do your job, just stand, and God is going to bring you the peace that you need. So that's what readiness is. And I don't have to live in understanding, okay? Because this is telling me I'm readiness, if I have to be vigilant, that's telling me I'm always going to be under attack. And see, here's what we do. We get comfortable and think, okay, well, I went to church. I got that good message on the yeast. Man, I'm aware when there's something going on in me now. Okay. Well, I don't really need those shoes. I'm just going to run outside and get the paper. Did you ever step on acorns when you're running out to get the paper? Ouch. Well, I don't need shoes. I'm in the house. Nothing's going to happen. And one of those little kids leaves a Lego. If you have never... Oh, hello, all the Lego steppers. Just you came awake with me right there. It hurts. And I can't walk out without the protection that he's given me. And the protection I have is peace. So my footing, he wants me to stand securely. I see that in 2 Timothy 4:2. And here's the thing. Those soldiers, their footing that he was watching, you know, you always see the Roman soldier sandals and whatever. Guys, they got cold too. But when they went to war, they weren't wearing sandals. Okay? They were wearing these shoes that had spikes on them that were probably like the precursor to cleats. And some of them even had, you know, like now, like rocker metal spikes. Dude, somebody was looking back at the old armor. That's all I can tell you. But they came in and they put that on. And what they did, it was so that when the battle came, they could stand. So if somebody came after them, the hit didn't knock them over because they were grounded. Something went deeper, listen, deeper than the surface. You with me? So the deeper than the surface thing held them when the blow came so they could just stand. Man, there are times when I read that scripture and it says, if you don't faint, grow weary, you know, and I'm like, hello, I'm pretty weak. Hello, I'm fixing to faint. And then you get the smelling salts of reality. Hey, is that your feelings telling you that? Or is that the word of God telling you that you're weak and wimpy? Which one is it? Well, that's a word, you know, and I just have to shake that thing off. But it's because we need the footing. Anybody in here as a child ever play tug of war? Now, I'm speaking Sunday morning, and I've actually been studying for Sunday, and so some of what I've been studying got in on this, but I was thinking about tug of war when you're kids and you play tug of war, and you want like the strong person to be in the back, the anchor. But here's the problem. You get the weak little ones in there, and if they can't keep their footing, they start slipping. And no matter how strong your anchor person is, spiritual ears, when they slip, boom, everybody goes down. It just chain reacts. So he wants me not only to be ready, but he wants me to stand with my footing secure. And then he says, it's a shoe of peace. Well, peace has two different things that it's going to do. One is, it's a defense. And you'll see in verse 16, he talks, when we study this, he talks about the flaming arrows. I know that there's the shield of faith, but I can say to everything that comes my way, nope, not going to believe it, not going to, whatever that was, okay, this is this. But I'm telling you, if I don't have peace, I won't stand still. I'll get antsy and I'll start moving and I'll mess it up every time. So that I have to know the difference. There's a defense in that footing, in those peace. It comes against it. The offensive thing about peace is I can stand firm no matter how scary it is. Okay, so I'm in the kitchen, and I like been yawning all day because when the boom and the lightning and the thunder hit at the same time at 4:24 this morning at my house. And yeah, come on, because I know, because it went shakabah boom, and then the electricity went off. And I was like, seriously? Okay, that's not a problem. 4:24, fan doesn't work. 5:00, I am done. I cannot rest. This is miserable. I am so hot, and it's raining so hard I can't just open the window, which I wouldn't mind doing. But I thought, I'll just get started anyway, so here we go. So, I'm in the kitchen. I don't know. It's probably like 4:00 or something. I'm making a pot of coffee. And so I'm just standing there. And I'm, and Angela comes in. She goes, boo. And I went, oh. It's like when you're so at peace, when you're just so not frenzied, you may react, but it's not enough to knock you over. Now, if Savannah comes around with her little stealth thing where she's hiding in the church and she comes up, rah, and you go, woo! Yeah, because why? Because you lose your peace with the noise, right? You lose it with the noise. So he wants to give me a confidence so I can say, girl, what is wrong with you? And stand in confidence. The other thing I see is that he wants us to always be moving forward and not just to stand in a way where I'm like, okay, well, all the rest of you just go on. I'm going to, but to stand means that I'm going to keep my upright position. I'm going to keep my upright position so I still can be moving forward and taking back turf. Maybe for you. Have you ever took turf back for somebody else? You get in the ditch with them, you go, now listen, snap out of this. We're going to trust the Lord. And, we all need that. And sometimes I have to do that for me. And sometimes we have to do it for both somebody else and us. But there's got to be a taking back of the turf. And I really believe right now in the kingdom, what's going on is God is calling us to just stand and be faithful. Look, he's not asking you to write a new Bible. He's not asking you to go on television and, have this big crusade. He's not asking you to have the biggest house where you live so that you validate some kind of wealth. All he's asking you and me to do is trust him enough that we overcome the lies of the enemies in our head and help somebody else have the confidence to believe. Because when you don't have peace, I'm going to give you some of mine. And when I don't have peace, you're going to give me some of yours. And when both of us don't have peace, we're going to join hands and stand upright and get what we need, because we know we're not going to move until I'm moving with the peace of God. I'm vigilant. I'm watchful, because something is meant to take your feet out from under you, and he wants you to be cemented in. Here's what happens. So here's the thing. The enemy comes in. You're standing, you're wavering, you're tired. You're just like, God, I'm just sick of this. And so the enemy wants you to do something, and you're just thinking, I don't have any peace, I don't have any peace. I'm just going to give in and do this thing because I don't have peace. Number one, anytime you need to bargain and settle, that's not God, because the price has already been paid. The devil is a half-price bargaining liar. And he wants you to feel like you have to do something to earn something. So here's what he'll say. Well, if God really loved you, and then if that doesn't work, you're like, well, I know Romans 30, 8, 38, 39, where it says that nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Shall this, shall that, okay, I do know that word. So, okay, I'm going to stand on that. Oh, please give me peace. Please give me peace. And then the next bomb he hits you with is, well, even if he does, you don't deserve it. Oh, well, you're right. So I'll just, instead of waiting on the Lord, I'm going to take your peace, Satan, and just give in and do whatever this is that you're driving me, because I don't have peace, but I want it. It's because I'm bargaining with an enemy who wants to separate me from the presence and the love of God that gives me a peace that passes all understanding. Like today, I don't even know when peace came, but all of a sudden it was just like, wow, okay, I'm not tormented by that anymore. So that is the thing that I've got to have, because my feet, the word says, are to bring the good news. And if I don't have peace and confidence in God, I'm not bringing good news. I'm bringing freak out. You know, I'm bringing worry. I'm bringing doubt. And not just to me, but I can get other people in agreement with me and cause them to lose their peace, because you and I can decide we're not good enough, because we're not. But the word's already told us that. It had to come through a Savior, and he's Jesus, and he's paid the price. Why do you want a bargain salvation, bargain basement salvation, when you can have the first run, when you can have the premier, when you can have the deluxe package? Because we get in agreement with him in our mind for what we deserve instead of what the word says that he paid for. Fear. I'll never have it any better. Probably not with that attitude. Right? Because I'm in agreement with my emotions. So I got to be careful. And I love that Moses himself in Numbers 16:28, he said, it's not me, but it's God who's given me the ability. And God, Moses couldn't even stand, and God sent him some people to hold his arms up. And they weren't perfect people. They were people who'd even turned against Moses and done things against God. But God will reconcile people back to himself, because those people who had failed knew what it felt like to fail, and they knew that he needed help. And so they held up his arms the same way that they were hoping someone would have held up theirs. And it gave them the confidence to do it. So when he says, finally, you know, any argument in court starts out with finally. Now, finally, this is what I want to say. But here he is, Paul's been saying, you know, stand firm and whatever. But he comes in now in his summary and he says, finally be strong. But in verse 14, he didn't just say stand. He says, you stand firm then. How am I supposed to stand? Not on a slippery slope. I got up this morning and it's pouring rain, you know, and I'm headed to Panera to get the bread. And I know there's a pair of shoes that I love. They are so comfortable, but I've worn them to like the bottom is slick. And I was like, but they're the cute ones. You know, they have a bow on them. I think it helps me feel better about myself. And so I was like, I really want to wear those. And I was like, Gay, you're going to slip and fall and hurt yourself. I was like, okay, I'm going to wear these stupid, ugly Crocs. And have all this stuff on the bottom to do it. So when I got there, you know, I'm getting this bread and just a beautiful story. And so I've made friends with this girl who works there. So I'm supposed to go back and just have a meal with her. And so I'm thinking about my ugly shoes. I want you to hear this in spiritual ears. Because sometimes I'm thinking about my ugly salvation. Like I'm barely saved. Like I'm going to get to heaven and I'm going to be at the back of the line because all these people who did it better are going to be in front of me. I got a word for you tonight. You're going to be at the front of the line because you needed him more. And those who know his name and those who've been in his lap are going to be the first ones there because they're going to recognize and he's going to know you. Man, I'm all, you know, bummed about my little bow shoes. And so I go up there and I'm doing this and this little girl comes out. She's like, I'm going to help you. I'm like, no, you know, let me finish this. And I, you know, heard the Lord like, you know, you're in a hurry. So I stopped and I said, give me a hug. And she said, I can't hug you today. And I said, why? She said, because you're going to make me cry. I said, what's wrong? And she said, I can't talk about it with you right now. Now, guys, this is just a little girl that, you know, I see at Panera twice a week for maybe 5 minutes. And I said, what's wrong? And she said, can you come back and talk to me? And I was like, well, not today, but I'll try tomorrow. Can you come? I was like, no, I got to take somebody to the doctor in the morning. Can you come? I said, look, I'm going to do my best, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I got her cell phone number, and I said, I'll call you. And she said, there's something that when you come in, I feel something, and I just feel like if I shared this with you that you could help me. There is nothing about me. Hear me. I'm saying what Moses said. I'm saying that to you. If there is anything good about me, it's God. And when we walk in peace, not worried about how we look, or you bows on your shoes, or, you know, I couldn't even curl my hair today, y'all. This just wash and dry. It's ugly. But I don't care because it got wet again. But, you know, all those things that you're worried about, and in the middle of all of it, there's somebody that just needed your peace. It wasn't your outside junk. It was what comes on the inside. So the enemy does not want you to be ready. He wants to blindside you. So the word is telling us, always be vigilant. Now, I shouldn't be worried. Pat, I should be able to trust you, right? Because we've been in the trenches. We've prayed together. There's been some things we've seen. We can trust each other. But I might have a bad day. I might be like, Pat, whatever. And you're like, Gay, what is wrong with you? Girl, get over here. I'm going to pray for you. That's the kind of friend I need, right? That's what I need. And then it's not like, you know, man, that Gay, she's so weak. She's wearing out the bows on her shoes. No, it's about, you know what? That's my friend. We're going to stand together and we're going to worship the Lord. And we're going to come out of this with some peace. And we're going to lead somebody else out. So the truth of the matter is that faith is not an emotion. It's a decision to stand on God's word. Because I don't know who I am, but I know who he says I am. And sometimes I have to get that in my spirit to overcome the bargain basement lie selling of the devil about who I am. No, I'm God's masterpiece, right? Did you see that work of art that was this beautiful painting, and the people spent, what, $4 million or whatever it was on this work of art, and then the artist made it so when they took it and whatever, it erased itself, and like this little thing came down and erased it, and people were like, oh, that is magnificent. I'm like, that is the stupidest thing I ever heard. And now you think that's better because that thing erased the artwork and it makes it like, wow. Doesn't that sound like something the devil does? You pay a price for something, not Jesus, but you pay the price for it. You bargain basement, settle for a little bit of peace, and what's the next thing he does? Look what you did. You a weak Christian. You caved. You settled. And you're like, well, I can't win. Ding, 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 ding. You can't win with the devil. His only weapon is lies. And anytime I'm in agreement with him, that's what gives him power. And that's the whole point. He wants to separate me from the power of Jesus Christ so that I will get in agreement with him, because he thrives on that, because agreement with him is a form of praise, and he's after the praise and the worship. And I'm not going to give it to him. I may fall tomorrow and Pat may have to say, girl, what's wrong with you? But I'm not going to walk in guilt, shame, or condemnation because I'm his beloved. Now, that does not give me the right to come in and say, oh, I'm going to use this love, to just do what I want. That's not the point, because you need to follow this story. I want you to remember in Acts 19, we're almost done, 13 through 16, there's the story of the seven sons of Sceva. And he was a Jewish priest, okay? He had the word. This is so important for us today. Did you ever get beat up with the bat of the word? Did somebody ever use the word on you to set you straight? You've heard me say this, but it's so important. The word of God should not just set me straight. Isaiah 61 says, I'm anointed to set people free. And the word of God is going to set you free with peace and not leave you with more guilt than it found you with. Hey, truth. Truth can make you feel bad unless you know the Spirit of God behind it, because people use it like a weapon. And here's a Jewish priest who knew the word. So one day he's always trying to say the name Jesus, the Lord Jesus, to get these evil spirits to come out of people. Well, one day the evil spirit answered him, and it says, Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you? And then the evil spirit in that man beat up these priests so bad that they were naked and bleeding. You know why? Because your armor isn't on the outside. And when you try to do things on the outside, you're going to be exposed and you'll be laid open to the truth of what you cannot do. That's a blessing. What? It's a blessing for me to come to the end of me and realize I need Jesus because I'll get to him quicker. So here he comes in. And the seven sons, though they were using his name, because they didn't have the relationship with Jesus, their words were void of any power or any authority. So what I want you to realize is, you're not just going into any store and putting on shoes. You're going in with what you need and what he knows that you need. And every morning, his mercies are new. And every morning, if you need rest, he may put house shoes on you. And you need to quit trying to put on the work shoes or the battle shoes. And there may be a day where you come in and you're just thinking, oh, I just really need to rest. Oh, I just really need to take off. And then you look down and you got on battle shoes and you're like, what? He's like, be ready. Because you're tired, you're weary, you've been in the battle. He knows about it. He's fixing to come after you because your mind's weak. And you're like, okay, are you a snake or are you a friend? That's my little mental test. Is this a snake or is this a friend? Yeah, anyway. So I wanted to encourage you with that tonight. And then what I'd like for you to do, I'd like for you to just have a little bit of homework tonight. Proverbs 16. The Lord gave me that scripture at the first of this year, Proverbs 16:3. And for those of you who attend church regular, you heard me in January get up almost every time. You didn't, sweet girl, because you were working. You a working single mom. You a working machine, girlfriend. But I would say, this is a scripture the Lord has given me for this year, that your plans are going to succeed, that he's going to provide for you. I've been all over that. Yes, Lord, this has been my shield at the fiery darts. Even though I doubted me, I came with the word. That's the way Jesus fought it. I'm going to do it. Listen, if Jesus had to fight off the devil with the word of God, do you think we're going to have to do any less? Come on. So, you know, I'm all into it. And he's like, go back and read the whole thing. And I was like, wow. I want you to read Proverbs 16 is your homework. And I want you to know that God wants your plans to succeed, but God's going to take care of your enemies. You need to lay that down and quit worrying about handling things like the seven sons of Sceva in the name of Jesus, and you just need to let the Savior come in and do his work and have your peace. And when you have that peace, you're going to be amazed at how much farther things are going to move forward for you, because he's going to do it and you won't have to do it. So tonight, if you'll just stand with me, we're just going to cement this word tonight with just a little bit of the spirit, because you know my saying, all word, you know, we dry up. All spirit, we blow up. Word and spirit, we grow up. Because you can't have the word of God without the character of God. So I'm not going to be browbeat. The devil knows the word, and I'm not going to let him browbeat me. And neither am I going to be so religious that I'm no good to anybody. And the world is judging us right now. And they've already judged us as critical and bitter and fault-finding people. If you're a Christian, I feel like I already got two strikes against me. But I'm telling you, you and I are a generation of believers who are no longer going to let ourselves be beat down, nor will we beat down others, thinking that we know more and better. Because, guys, when people do that, mark this. They are people who are not in peace, and they are being driven because they can't settle things. He is my peace. And that's the way I need to be walking, is in peace. If I walk in peace, I'm going to have a built-in GPS to heaven. But if I'm not walking in peace, I'm going to get off course. He'll help me, but why would I want the scars? You with me? So tonight, Father, I just ask that your word would be planted. Lord, that we would recognize that all armor has to be rooted first in truth, or it'll drop away. I'll lose my peace if it's not truth. Lord, I sometimes don't know when to stand and when to move. But I just want to thank you that you carry me at those times when I don't know. But my heart is for you, God. The hearts of your people tonight, God, we're looking, Lord, not to continue in fear and doubt, but to walk in peace. And God, I just ask tonight that for those who are just struggling and being tormented by a thought, in the name of Jesus, you're done with that. We just anoint you with the peace of God tonight. God is going to work it out. You just rest. Father, I give my mind, I give my heart, I give those emotions to you tonight as a gift, because only you can take these things and make something good from them. It's my sacrifice of praise. I've been nourishing this thing, I've been working on this thing, and now I just give it to you. I just want you to invade those places where I'm worried. And Father, I just pray tonight that if there's just a continual playing, a continual thing about failure, we just say no to that in the name of Jesus. I just pronounce Romans 8, 38 and 39 over you to use as a weapon, that there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. And we won't make that choice. We stand in agreement with you tonight, Father. Lord, lead us. And God, help us. Help us to be light in this dark world. And let it be your light and not a false light, just using your name for some kind of power, but in connection with you, Dad, knowing that we're yours and that you're ours. We're so grateful for that, Father. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. They all said. Now, Psalm, what are you supposed to be reading for your homework? See, I thought you'd say Psalm because I said it, but you didn't. You were listening. Every one of you get a pastry tonight on the way out. Amen. God bless you. Yes. You already got your. God bless you. Yes. Love you.